May only His word be spoken, only His word heard. Amen. Let there be no doubt from the Gospel of John, our scripture reading for the day, Gospel reading. In this tremendous scripture for today, Jesus makes two startling claims. The first claim is that He is God. When He says that before Abraham was, I am, that's exactly what He's doing. He's claiming that He is God. The second claim is that He says, whoever keeps my word, that person will not see death. These two colossal claims shocked the Pharisees, the teachers of the law in Jesus' day, and they caused them to ridicule Him, deride Him. They treated Jesus with contempt. The same is true today. Jesus is often mocked and His words sarcastically rejected, mocked. But make no doubt about it, these two claims are the basis of whether we'll be saved or damned. Let me take them up one by one. The Pharisees and teachers of the law knew exactly what Jesus was claiming about Himself. They say, are we not right to call you a Samaritan and demon-possessed? Calling Jesus a Samaritan was kind of a racial slur because Samaritans were half-breeds, half-Jew, half-Gentile or Greek. And the Jews hated the Samaritans. They hated them with a passion. It was also an innuendo that Jesus' real father was unknown. Was it true that He was born from a prostitute? Here is the great and tragic irony. The Pharisees cannot see that the man right in front of him is the very man God sent to rescue them, to save them, and they don't see it. Jesus says, I don't have a demon, but my Father is God Himself, and you dishonor me. In other words, lambasting Jesus is the opposite of honoring God. Abraham, Father Abraham, as he is called, because he is considered the father of all Jews, the father of faith, he is brought into this fierce debate. Jesus says, anyone who keeps my word will not see death. The Pharisees shot back. Abraham died, and so did the prophets. Are you saying you're greater than Abraham? Who do you think you are? Jesus says in response something like this, why don't you ask God who I am? He's the one that glorifies me. Then comes His extraordinary statement. He says, your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad. The Pharisees were dumbfounded. What are you talking about? You aren't even 50 years old. Then comes the most astounding statement of this whole scripture, and I hope you caught it. This, the thing that Jesus said that so unnerved the Pharisees and the teachers of the law and triggered their maniacal desire to kill Jesus. Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Note, it isn't before Abraham was, I was. No, it's before Abraham was, I am. The Pharisees knew what Jesus was saying. They knew all about it because it had to do with Moses, whom they adored. Moses, as you will recall, was called by God to bring the Jews out of Egypt, out of the slavery. They'd been there 400 years, right? But Moses, 80 years old at the time when he was called, gave all kinds of reasons why he wasn't the man for the job, because he was afraid. One of the reasons he gave is, who am I to tell the Egyptians who sent me? And God says, tell them I am sent you. God revealed his name to Moses as I am who I am, which we've transliterated to Yahweh. Yahweh, I am. God uses the verb to be without an object. We don't use it that way. We usually say, I am this or I am that, right? But for God, for Jesus, it is I am, with no beginning, with no end. Before Abraham existed, I am, co-eternal with the Father and with the Holy Spirit, the Trinity. Jesus is not simply a prophet. Jesus is not simply a teacher. He is the way. He's not one way. He is the way. Jesus might have put it in this way. I am not trying to show you the way to God, to find him. No, I've come to find you and bring you to the Father, because unless I bring you to the Father, there's no way that you're going to find him. Jesus' claim of divinity is under huge attack today. People take on his miracles, they take on the gospel, they take on the scriptures. This is all, come on, you know, science disproves a lot of this, and miracles, what's really sad to me is this is preached in churches, that they take on the miracles of Christ. Maybe you remember that Thomas Jefferson, that brilliant founding father of our country, created his own Bible. He cut out all the miracles of Jesus in his version of the Gospels. In his gospel, it ended with Jesus' crucifixion, not with his resurrection. He cut that all out. His spirit and thinking is alive and well today, even more so. More and more people have tamed Jesus, made him a great teacher and nothing more. He's the punchline for things on Comedy Channel and all that. His name is used more as a curse word than for what he is. You'll be lost if that's what you think. You need a Savior. You need someone who died for you and who rose to put you right with the Father. And if you doubt that, well, I'll pray for you. Are we so sophisticated? Or are we so knowledgeable and so self-sufficient? And might I add, so self-deluded that we don't think we need a Savior, a rescuer? But he told the truth. Jesus told the truth for all time amidst all the lies of the world and people of this world. And those who believe in him will go to heaven, and those who don't believe in him will go to hell. The second great claim that Jesus made is in that verse which I've already stated. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever keeps my word will never see death. Well, what are we to make of this statement, since we've been to funerals of good Christian people? They obviously died, right? Well, let's take another verse from the Gospel of John. John chapter 5, verse 24. Jesus says this, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but is passed from death to life. John 5:24. Note in these two verses, the one in our gospel for today and the one I just quoted to you, there are at least three important truths. First, whoever keeps my word, he is saying, if you believe what I say about myself. Because Jesus was asked, what do we do to do the work that God demands of us? You know how he answered? He said, to do the work that God demands is to believe in the one whom he sent. In other words, to believe in me, Jesus, your Savior and Lord. The second major truth is that he who believes has eternal life. What tense is that? Present tense. Present tense. Has eternal life. Now. Not later. Now. Third important truth. We who believe have already passed from death to life. Our bodies die, but we don't. New Testament says we're asleep in the Lord. There is no break in our relationship with Jesus Christ. We who believe in Jesus are not going to die in the way we normally use it. Our essential self, call it our soul, goes to be with God, to be later joined with our body once again, in a resurrected body, in a new body. Same us, though, to be with Jesus. People without Jesus Christ in their life are afraid of death. And they have good reason to be afraid of death. A real good reason. You know, early in our life, some of you, pretty young, you don't think about death. You don't. Unless you have a serious illness, you don't think about death, do you? Anybody here young? Right. But it'll catch up to you. I figure about the age of 55, I think a lot of people start thinking about death. Now, I just picked that arbitrary. How many of you are 55 or older? Raise your hand. All right. Yeah. You look like you should be thinking about death. I think about death. And there are times when it strikes me as I'm a little afraid about it. I'm more afraid about how I'm going to die. I really don't fear death, though. I don't. What do people do? They medicate themselves. They divert their attention. Do you know, out of fear of death, people even kill themselves? What's behind that is often a fear of death. They're going to do it themselves. As strange as that sounds. There are billionaires in our country who've decided they don't want to die at all. And let me tell you, this is born out of their fear of death. Peter Thiel, co-founder of PayPal, is interested in young blood transfusions. Let me see if I can find some young people here. You know, they want your blood. You know, yes, yours. And your child. They want Nathan's blood. You know, they think that getting young blood transfusions will counteract aging. Jeff Bezos, along with Peter Thiel, invested heavily in Unity Biotechnology. Here's the purpose of this company: to delay, prevent, alleviate, or reverse age-related diseases. Oracle's Larry Ellison, who has said this, "Death never made sense to me," has spent $430 million. And that's an old figure, I think, for anti-aging research. And then to top it all off, there's Ray Kurzweil of Google. the great predictor of things. He believes in nanobots, little... Does this ever happen to you? My phone just went off because it heard me say predicts, and it's giving me the message of what that is. I'm sorry. You didn't hear it. I shouldn't have let it go, but... He believes that these nanobots, these little robots, the size of a drop of blood will be injected in us, and then it will fight all the diseases, and then our brains will be connected by technology to these unbelievable computers, and Ray Kurzweil believes that we will achieve immortality by 2045. I will be 93, too late. Without God, without Jesus, will we escape death? No! Neither the body or soul will break free of the clutches of death. Jesus says, I am your Savior. And I am the defeater, the victor over death. And there is no other. And let there be no doubt about it. What shall we do with these incredible claims that Jesus made? Believe them. Believe them. That's the only thing we should do with them. Believe and trust them. Live your life in accordance with those beliefs. As you grow older, you don't have to fear death. You don't. You don't have to divert yourself from it. By all means, you don't have to kill yourself. Living by faith means living without reservation. Living by faith means staking our lives on the belief, on these two great claims of Jesus, that He's God, that He came to save you and defeated death. Through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, we have enough to sustain us in this world and into eternal life. Let there be no doubt that Jesus is God and that He loves you and that He went to the cross for your sins, that He rose to put you right with the Father, and that He's coming back for you to take you to heaven and eternal life. He has delivered you from death. This is the good news. This we believe. In Jesus' name and to His glory. Amen? Amen. Amen. Please rise. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, now and always. Amen.